We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the more. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the more. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. Where do you want to start with this one?
Which one?
This one.
This is the show where...
About the one?
We're not going to prepare ahead of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I probably did more preparation for this one than I have for anything in weeks.
Really? And by anything, you actually mean anything.
I mean
like
anything.
Your job.
Yeah.
Brushing your teeth.
To prepare for that. Brushing my teeth, I already know how to do that. I don't need to prepare.
You do that weekly already.
Yeah. So. I do use Preparation H. Does that count?
Preparation Triple H? Remember that shirt?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that got over.
Yeah, why didn't that get over?
Yeah.
Where should we start? Should we go low and end high?
Oh, so you mean we're going to end with R-Truth?
Yeah. Or Billy Gunn. Let me write that down.
Write that down?
Yeah.
You need to keep that.
So we don't forget about Billy Gunn.
Oh, yeah, like we were going to. No, where do you want to start? Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I
talk about.
Because
you were off in playing Raw Roulette.
Yes, I was playing Raw Roulette.
Yeah.
I spun the wheel,
mm-hmm.
and I made the deal.
Mm.
I'm not broke.
Mm, that's surprising.
That is surprising.
Coming back from Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, why don't we start with Vegas? They have the Cauliflower Alley Club. And so we can transition. It's sad to the passing of Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick Bockwinkel, unfortunately.
80 years old.
Yeah.
So this isn't a...
Literally hours shy of his 81st birthday.
Yeah. This is, again, just another example of performance-enhancing drugs. Shortening the lives.
Well, concussion certainly probably did not help near the end of his life. Obviously, no. I mean,
80 years
a joke. 80 years old. And it is a little bit, I mean, it's sad anytime anybody passes. It's a little bit easier when somebody, if somebody makes it to 75, to be honest, anybody below 75, that's too young for anyone to pass. And when you make it to 75 and anything past that.
You had a good run.
I'm sorry that you passed and I'll miss you and that type of deal, but I'm okay with it. If you're as young as Piper or you know, I mean, Piper was even younger than Rhodes, you know, and these guys. Then I'd have, some of these guys were like 40 years old, right? It can be, that's where it's super difficult. With Bockwinkel, it's like...
You're okay with it, he's dead.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not saying I'm okay with him being dead. Well, I'm just saying that it doesn't hit me as hard. I can look at his life more in a way where I'm comfortable looking at his memories,
mm-hmm.
and remembering him for his accomplishments, and it, less sad and more reverence.
By your cutoff line criteria, you're almost okay with Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon dying. Almost.
No comment.
Almost.
No comment. Well, Hulk Hogan's not that old.
Yeah, he is.
65, 60?
No, he's 60? 70.
No, he's
Vince
not.
Just turned 70.
Yeah, Vince just turned 70.
70 or 71.
Hulk Hogan's so not
Hogan
as old
would be 68 or 69.
No, 68, I don't think so.
He's only a couple years younger
Fuck
than Vinny.
Look him up.
Okay.
Fucking look both of these up. I think Vince just turned 70. And I have to admit, I didn't think his heart would hold out this long. But he has, and good for him. His mind clearly has not turned out this long. Held out this long, but yeah. I mean,
62, so I told you.
Yeah, Hogan is 62.
Two.
So you were right.
I was right.
Yeah.
So.
Fucking idiot.
So, I'm gonna put that down. Adam was right. But I remember... I remember Nick Bockwinkel personally best as the commissioner of WCW.
Hmm.
That's where I saw the most, I guess, without going back and watching old angles and matches like I have of him and seeing old promos and of his.
This is where YouTube's been a wonderful thing in the last several years.
Oh, yeah.
Guys like Bockwinkel, that, I mean, he just wasn't really around so much in the territories I was watching growing up. So I didn't get a chance to see him till. I mean, I saw a little bit of him at ESPN.
Yes.
When AEW was on there. And his classic match with
Hulk Hogan.
No, with Kurt Hennig, which is one of my all-time favorites, the 60-minute match that they had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. It's like, he was not... I mean, yeah, the WCW run is, as a national guy for us, was probably the first time we would have seen him.
So I'm live because we just missed AWA Hulkamania.
We just missed
and,
it, yeah.
And a Hulk Hogan, Nick Bockwinkel, you know, back and forth. He was an announcer. He did, you know, finally sign with Vince and was an announcer, you know, on some of the, say, the Madison Square Garden's Philadelphia Spectrum shows and things like that. And so when I'd watch, like, a WWF Cavalcade on time, they didn't really make a lot of mention of him.
No.
He was just the other announcer.
It could be it could be him. It could be, I mean, Superstar Billy Graham had a run doing that, you know, Bruno Sammartino. Like these kind
Ken of, Resnick. I mean, you'd have Hillbilly Jim and fucking Jim Neidhart, for God's sakes, on there sometimes.
No.
I mean...
But that's a good thing.
The Jim Neidhart announcer?
Yeah. He should be now. Couldn't be worse than JBL. Nobody's ever been worse than JBL.
Definitely.
JBL was good. Remember when we started and we were like, man, that JBL's good.
Yeah.
He says what the fans are thinking.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore.
No, now he says what Vince is thinking.
Yeah.
Which is not what the fans are thinking.
No. Now he's awful.
Now he is awful. I don't think he's the worst of all time, but
his run over the last year is as bad as any run I've ever heard.
Is it as bad as Mike Adamly?
Color commentator, different.
Yeah, I guess
different thing.
You're talking about as an analyst.
Yeah, as the color commentator, as the analyst.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's been. I mean, I guess the. Probably the best analyst would have been Pat Patterson.
So anyways, Nick Bockwinkel.
Nick Bockwinkel. About Bockwinkel, Stevens, Heenan, that group.
Yeah.
Again.
I tell you the truth, that's part of the reason why I started looking up. I started seeing a lot of Bockwinkel on YouTube myself because I was looking up other guys.
Yeah.
And then he was involved with them, and then I was like, holy shit, he's great.
Yes.
Like, so it'd be like, I'd be looking up Jerry Lawler after Jerry Lawler had his heart attack. And then I would see the Jerry Lawler, Nick Bockwinkel feud and promos back and forth. Or I'd be looking up Heenan to watch old Heenan before he got to the WWF.
Yeah.
WWF at the time. And
looked like Captain Kangaroo Heenan.
Yes. And, but that's where, again, I would see him and I would be like, okay, this is, you know, this guy's great.
Yeah.
And so that's where a lot of my memories of Bockwinkel come. From as like a promo, he was very smart, crafted very smart psychology in his promos. You could tell he spent a lot of time thinking about them and preparing them, and he wasn't bombastic, he wasn't anything,
bombastic is a word he would have used though.
It is a word he would have used, but he was not Ric Flair in his promo approach.
No.
He was, everything he did, like, Like, when I watch him wrestle, I mean, you talk about Larry Zbyszko, used to always refer to as the game of human chess.
Yes.
When you would watch Nick Bockwick wrestle, that's what you would think.
Yeah.
That you're watching the game of human chess. Like, his style is so different from what the guys do nowadays. It was storytelling, it was a lot of chain wrestling and mat-based. But, nowadays, you have to work hard to suspend belief that it's real.
And with
Zbyszko, back then, you just would watch it, and it was easy to suspend belief because his matches felt like, if it was a real sport, this is what it would be.
Yes, and it was someone that Bret Hart had pointed out, because Nick Bockwick, who came to Stampede Wrestling quite often, and they had the AWA title on par with the NWA title. They used the AWA instead of the NWA
for a while there, yeah.
And so in Bockwick,
I mean, obviously Harley Race came through and stuff too, but yeah.
Someone that that Bret really identified with, and you could see a lot of. I mean,
yeah, you definitely could. Yeah, there was it was a more modern take on it, but as far as like the style of making it seem like a sport,
yes,
and the psychology and the and the way that you would tell twists in the storytelling, that was very very similar.
And we've said it. A lot before, and anybody that's listened to the show for a long time knows that. I mean, if you watch, I'm trying to go back to the year, let's call it 2010, 2011, whatever it was, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That, like, he was being Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah, when
like, he was taking something, he was being Nick Bockwinkel.
As a promo, yeah.
As a promo, as a wearing the suit as a persona.
As a persona and a promo. The wrestling style obviously is different. But yeah, the persona, like that was the run that, I think it was probably even earlier, it might even have been like 2008, but that was the run we had where he came back and redefined who he was and had that great feud with Shawn Michaels. And this was the run that made people respect him because he was a totally different character and just as good and got over and carried the company in some ways.
Well, that feud did.
Yeah, and really, this is the one where everybody went, okay, this guy's a Hall of Famer. He's not just a good wrestler. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And when he was doing that run, it was Nick. Yeah, like you say, he was Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah.
That's who he looked at. That's who he talked like. That's who he acted like, looked like, everything except for Russell, you know, obviously, like you say, different.
Yeah, that's...
For obvious reasons.
I mean, from a star power perspective, we'll call it, I mean, he was even in the 60s.
Yeah.
He was on the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
You know? you know, in terms of...
Yeah, no, he was in the Monkees. Yeah.
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 But, I mean, it really does... it really does speak to his level of celebrity even back then, right? Yeah. So,
I'm curious to see what WWE does to honor him.
Yeah, they already have something up on...
obviously on the website, but I'm hoping they have a nice video tomorrow. I'm still waiting for my fucking Roddy Piper week celebration of his life on the network.
But it's the Undertaker week.
So I'm not going to hold my breath for a Nick Bockwinkel one.
No, God, no.
But, yeah, hopefully there'll be just something.
He was never part of...
Not like that, no. So, what else do you want to talk about? Anything else you want to say about Nick Bockwinkel?
I was going to say, I don't really think so. I mean, again, I didn't see a lot of him. He's very important, obviously, in the history of wrestling. Well respected. I look at him as...
No, I didn't see a lot of him, but everything I saw, I enjoyed.
He was a great great promo.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah.
When we did some of our promo shows, which we'll never do again.
What?
But when we did, used to do some of our promo shows where we would play great promos and talk about them and play them on the air. And it's too much editing.
We should do that again.
We'll never do that again.
Oh.
Because it's too much editing.
Oh.
But when we used to do that... one of the promos I put on there was him talking about the power of the punch. And basically, it was him and
William Regal.
No, it was him and Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
And they were going to have a match where Jerry Lawler had constantly uses the punches, which was technically at the time not considered legal within wrestling. And he had gone out of his way to get a ban for the match. And it was just great psychology behind this promo. And that, if I'm going to recommend a promo to you, that's the one that comes to mind for me. go look up the him talking about Jerry Lawler and the punch.
Right.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Well, no. So sad passing. The wrestling world is worse off. He had been suffering some memory issues late in the last few years. And
yeah.
So definitely not, I don't say it's not too soon, but he did live a full life.
Yeah.
Had a full career. And
like I said, we can remember him fondly for his yes. life and his achievements.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Mike's.
Yeah.
I sent you a link to this because this is something I came across. I don't know how, but
yeah.
Came across this. And I haven't looked at it yet, but this is something I thought we'd like to go on WWE.com and look at some of their lists.
Yes.
They have one here that I knew would be right up our alley.
Yes.
It's the 25 greatest Mike moments in wrestling history.
In professional wrestling history.
Yeah, it's not in WWE history.
No.
It's 25 greatest Mike moments in wrestling history.
Wait, what history?
Wrestling.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is that even a thing?
Well, it's from November 13th, 2014. When did wrestling get banned in the World Wrestling Federation?
1985.
So yeah. This is probably from 84.
Right.
So this is probably moments from 84 right. and earlier.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Lou Albano as number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Actually, he probably should be anyway. Or at least close. All right, let's go to number 25.
Number 25. And yeah, we'll get to some of the other news and stuff too. Don't worry.
The Winos know my name.
Dusty Rhodes on January 25th, 1984 in Mid-Atlantic.
1984.
Here we go. It's true. It's true. And it is in wrestling. It's not in...
Yes, it's true.
That's in wrestling. That's not a WWE moment.
Yeah.
So, and this is, again, this is a year ago that this was actually published, so... people actually acknowledged that Dusty Rhodes was great even back then.
Even before he passed.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? So let's go to number 24.
Skin. 24 skin?
Yes. Maybe.
Maybe, if your computer decides to work. It says stop plug-in for the shockwave.
Yeah.
The shockwave plug-in. I hate you. Edge on...
In April 10th, 2009... So it's the Rated R Superstar talking about John Cena.
Hmm. I don't remember this at all.
No. Me either.
Not one damn thing about it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
It's probably a good promo.
I'm sure it's a great promo.
When we think of Edge's greatest promo, what do you think of?
Honestly, Edge's greatest promo was his retirement promo.
That's what I thought. That's exactly where I went to, too. His retirement promo on Raw.
And the other one would have been...
And they also have one on SmackDown.
Yeah, the one
both great. But the one on Raw where, like, his mom was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one that... the other one of his active career, I think of the one where he pulls Vicky Guerrero outside of the ring, and they're both sitting on the mats... outside the ring, and she's crying, and he's throwing this, like, Heath Ledger-like fit.
I don't remember
that. Joker, it was great. It's a great promo.
Well, probably better than that one, then. Here's one that, when I think great promos, is not usually...
Shove anywhere. The control into a nosedive!
Okay. So if you can't get to that, is...
Oh my
Ultimate
god.
Ultimate Warrior. Well, it's greatest mic moments. It's not greatest promos. So, as a mic moment, as like a memorable thing that you're going to laugh about and that everybody does an imitation of, like you just did.
It's
that.
And honestly, it's the only promo that anybody can recite of the Ultimate Warrior.
True.
That doesn't involve rocket fuel and shit. Like, what? I watched it. They're doing, because it's Undertaker week. On WWE.com or WWE Network.
Yeah.
So the his debut, the 1990 Survivor Series, was on.
Yeah.
So I was watching it. And it was the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
The Ultimate Warrior, the Road Warriors, and the Modern Day Warrior, mm-hmm. Kerry Von Erich, against the Perfect Team, which is all three Demolition and Mr. Perfect. And Warriors cutting his promo. And, like, it's not even that it doesn't make any sense. It's that... I don't know half of the words that he used.
Because, like, he's making up them as...
It's just garble.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. He's a bit of a marble mouth.
That's yeah.
Because when I think, shove that control into a nosedive Hulk Hogan, then it makes sense.
Yes.
Like now you're saying something that happens.
Yes.
People take that control into nosedives all the time.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I know. Well, but at least it's...
yeah, I know.
They're real words.
They are real words.
And they can all kiss my ass.
Shane Douglas. Oh, that was a great... that was a great Mike moment, I gotta say.
What I liked about this Mike moment... from August 27th, 1994.
You mean
84. 21 years ago. Was that he was... It was... He knew kind of what he wanted to say. But... he was...
Well, how much of it was told to him to say by Heyman, right?
Well, no, but he knew that stuff.
Mike Douglas was... Or Shane Douglas. Mike Douglas. Shane Douglas is actually a pretty good promo. So.
From Wall Street.
Yeah.
He was okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He was all right. He just, I mean, he got the rap for cursing and swearing so much that you didn't really, he did use that as a crutch towards
In the ACW, but when he was in TNA, he would cut some nice promos where he couldn't really do that as much, so.
But if a promo falls.
True. Anyways.
But anyway, this one, I mean, I just like the interactiveness with the crowd. Like, he's naming former champ NWA champions, and people are yelling him out in the crowd, and he's pointing, going, yeah, Steamboat, or you know what I mean? Like, so it's more, it gave it that more off-the-cuff feeling.
Well, and it was a true swerve when he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and the crowd
Dennis Barluzzo had no idea.
Nobody had an idea, except for him and Heyman. And that was part of what made it effective. It's definitely a memorable moment.
Yeah.
And
number 21.
21. Oh, you gotta stop plugging again.
Every fucking time.
What the fuck is wrong? Anyways.
I know 1004, and I wrote them all down.
Okay, that was an excellent moment.
That was a great mic moment.
Yes.
This is the difference between great promos
and
great mic moments, because it's not a great promo.
No, this didn't draw money, so it's not a great promo.
But, I mean, I still, to this day, if I hear them, I'll just go, armbar.
It's true.
Sometimes just randomly.
That's true. That's true. The producer will look at you and go, what?
Yeah. If she'll say, I took down 103, and I'll go, armbar. She assumes it's wrestling, but she doesn't know.
She knows.
But she doesn't know the context.
She doesn't know the context, but she knows.
Yes.
It's you. It's wrestling.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So, all right. Let's go to number 19.
You're probably going to have to stop the plug-in.
I will. I'll stop the Flash fucking plug-in.
It's not number 19, because this is number 21.
Oh, we're
going
to go to 20, though.
All right. Thank you.
I just saw next to...
Would it be just quicker to do this, like, on your phone or something?
No.
Okay.
Ah, here we go. This is a great promo. You screwed me. Everybody screwed me. I got that Gorilla Monsoon trying to screw me. That was a great mic moment. Frustrated isn't the goddamn word for it. This is bullshit.
Yes.
Yes. Bret Hart, who is appalled by the Attitude Era and would like to represent wholesome family values in wrestling, use goddamn bullshit.
It's true.
I think he used goddamn like 6 times.
It's the goddamn word for it.
Yeah. This is bullshit. Everybody's in that goddamn dressing room.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah.
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 Wholesome family values.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a great mic moment.
Fuck you, those are Ray-Bans.
Yeah. Fucking Ray-Bans.
Bret Hart.
Even when he's Jerry Lawler, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
1995.
But before the Attitude Era.
Yes.
Wholesome family. Well, yeah, the fuck you, those are Ray-Bans was in 87.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, this was, this was awesome and definitely a great mic moment.
Well, it was great, but, and we knew, thing is, I knew it was coming beforehand. We all knew it was coming beforehand because in order for them to do this promo, they had to clear it with the network. They had to clear it with USA at the time and TSN here in Canada.
And Don Callis.
Because they were going to use all this profanity, and because they were losing the war to Nitro, and they were trying to get some heat.
Yeah.
And they thought this is one of the ways to do it. So this was, they had to clear it with, and then gave Brett the script, and at first he was like, I didn't want to do it, but then he thought, well, it will be memorable, and blah, blah, blah.
It's pages 400 through 480 in his book.
Yeah.
I am the cream of the crop.
I think of all the Randy Savage promos, I hope this is not the only one.
Yeah,
because this is not his best promo. I mean, it's a good promo.
When he passed away,
this is just one of the many great promos that he would cut with Mean Gene.
A couple coffee in the big time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but yesterday's newspaper.
Yeah,
but I mean,
like he did it all the time.
Yeah, and this was this cream of the crop. I think the spotlight should shine on top of me. That's the quote.
Yeah.
That they've used now since he passed, right? So that's why this is on here. This may be it for Randy Savage. This might just be.
I hope not, because
Randy
this
Savage.
Is.
But it's only number 19.
It
so
is
we
number
still
19.
Have, we're going to go to 18 now, because that comes after 19, after you stop a plug-in.
Are you sure we're going to go to? Are you sure that it is? Are you sure it isn't number 20?
I feel like God. Bob Backlund, after winning the World Wrestling Federation Championship for a second time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember this, do you?
I kind of remember it, but it's... Let's put it this way. Frustrating isn't the goddamn word for it.
Yeah.
Should be ahead of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
There's the...
He's good now.
No. The one I was thinking of is the one where he didn't say anything. That was the promo. That's the promo from him I most remember.
Yeah.
When he's just about to talk, and he lifts the mic up to his mouth, and the crowd starts booing, and he just puts it back down.
And he puts it down, and he looks at his hands, and he walks away, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was the one where he was, yeah, because that was...
Yeah. I had a dream last night. Terry Funk. This was after attacking Ric Flair after his Ricky Steamboat match when he was a judge.
Yes,
the,
okay.
Chi-Town. Was it Chi-Town Rumble? May 7th, 1989?
Yeah, I believe that would have been... Yeah, I believe that was the Chi-Town Rumble.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Chi-Town Rumble, they went 60 minutes or something.
I didn't need
to... 58 minutes. It was Wrestle War. It was in
Tennessee. Wrestle War, that's right. Wrestle War, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was May 7th, 1989, however.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That much I know.
Anyways, of all the great Terry Funk promos, that's not.
No.
Pick one of the ones against Jerry Lawler instead.
And again, I think that this is more... This is Terry Funk. This is Randy Savage. I'm thinking that's what this
is going
to be.
I think that's what they're doing too, which is really a shame. Yeah. But, yeah. Speaking of really a shame that they're putting him on there.
Raven. There are things inside of me without remorse.
You know what? Raven was a good promo, but I can't remember his promos.
Paul Heyman was a great promo for Raven.
Yeah.
Because Raven in WCW basically quoted grunge rock songs. Says, I feel your pain, and quote the Raven Nevermore.
That's true.
That's basically it.
You know, for a genius, you think he would have done better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And, I would think he'd get his promos from vending machines.
obscure reference, but...
Funny. But, I mean, even this, you know...
Yeah, it's
with
like...
With allusions to both biblical parallels and the Smashing Pumpkins song 1979. So, I mean,
no, like I say, he knew his character. He really was the character in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And like, he was good. He was charismatic. He delivered good... lines. He was a good promo for the moment, but is he a memorable promo? No.
Should he be ahead of Randy Savage?
No. Fuck no.
No. And again, this would have been one of his last, March 30th, 1997, his last...
on his first run,
ECW promos before going to WCW.
Yeah. Ah! God, they can't just be doing one from The Rock. Because if they are, this is the one they chose. Because don't get me wrong, it's a great Mike moment. Not a great promo. It's a great Mike moment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we could have 25 great Mike moments just from The Rock.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't even put this at number one.
No.
It's great.
No.
Because The Rock was great.
The Rock, turns out, is great. And
yeah.
Number 15. And it's the first Rock concert.
Yeah.
Is what they have. But that's...
that was great.
That was, I believe, in Sacramento, California.
That was tremendous. And yet, what's your favorite of the Rock concerts? He did three, right? There
yeah.
were four. He did four.
My favorite...
Because he did Sacramento, he did Cleveland, he did Toronto, and then he did the one with John Cena.
Yes. My favorite was when he sang to Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, mine
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
He's all just like... That was the greatest.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree.
Because, darling, you look awful.
Yes,
that was great.
So funny. So funny.
And she added to it, obviously, with the look on her face.
Right? Oh, of course.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It was a great Mike moment.
This was a great Mike moment.
From the very brief heel turn that Shawn Michaels did so he could take on
Hogan.
Hogan.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam.
At the SummerFest. August 15th, 2005, from Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the whole thing where they were chanting, "We want Bret or Hogan," and he just laid down in the ring for a while. He's like, "All right, now you know who's in control.
Yes,
we're
so
going to keep going." And then they played Bret's music for him to come out. They played Hogan's music for him to come out. Oh, it's just, you know.
When, I
who's
mean, and
your
it was,
daddy,
it
Montreal?
It was not Hogan that they were waiting for. Obviously, they were waiting for Hogan or
Bret.
For Bret.
Yeah.
At the time, it was 8 years after the screw job.
Yes.
So still fresh enough, even though it had been a while. The thing about it is, this might have been the last time. No, actually, well, was this before or after the ECW? I guess ECW with RVD versus Cena was after. After
yeah,
this
would have been out. That would have been after this. That,
that was
been,
the last time I can think of there being real heat instead of fake heat, or instead of just performing along. Like, instead of the crowd just performing along with the show, being real heat would have been the ECW, and then this would be the other time that I can think of in recent memory where there's real heat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Other than Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
No, that was. Not,
I know, but that's not real heat for the real reason.
It's not real heat, not yeah, exactly. Not real heat. Not
well,
for
but
the real
ECW
reason.
Wasn't even for the real reason, because that was Cena was still the babyface going into that. It was a babyface match, right?
It was a double babyface match, but it wasn't because everybody
I
knew.
Know.
Everybody right. knew, yeah. So that was real heat.
This is where the power lies.
This is a great promo.
That was a great promo. This was going for
yeah.
Hercules. Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah.
For a Saturday night's main event?
Yeah, that was, yeah, I think you're right. It was tremendous. I remember the promo. I remember the event. I remember the promo.
Yeah, there was,
not his best, but it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we would see it, you know what? This is where the power lies, and he pulls his hand up to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that before.
I think I've seen that.
And I don't think we're allowed to ever see that again.
What?
Somebody addressed the camera like that.
Oh, yes. Well, and I mean, and he used that as NWO. Hollywood is where the power lies.
That's true.
Ages, right?
That's true.
Backlash?
This was a great Mike moment. I'm glad they have this on there. I'm surprised.
Well, I'm not. It's a WWE.com staff.
Yeah, that's true. Who's in charge of it? Joey Styles.
I'd be surprised if this wasn't on the list. I'm surprised this is the
number
one.
Joey Styles backlash.
Backlash?
He mocks God. Yeah, this was a true. Oh, it was so great.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah.
He mocks God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to do it, Ray. Why did you make me do it, Ray?
What's Eddie's greatest promo?
Eddie
Guerrero. I mean, obviously, they're putting this one in there. And this was great. This was good heat.
Yeah.
But what do you think was Eddie Guerrero's greatest promo?
I'm trying to think of what his greatest promo
I think
was.
The one where he came out after he had the coffee thrown on him and started the Latino World Order. The start. The night of the beginning of the Latino World Order. That
yeah, that's...
Night,
that was a,
to me, that's his best promo.
That was a decent promo.
I think
what I didn't like about it, I remember this, is because he's so mad... And he's still going, you can shove it up your you-know-what, Bischoff. And that hurt it for me, because I just remember thinking,
I suppose.
My most memorable Eddie Guerrero promo?
Yeah.
I'm your papi, Dominic. Totally.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose. To a degree.
I think this is his best WWF promo, though.
It's possible, yeah. It's possible.
All right, we're going to go to number 10.
We are.
Without the fucking shocker.
Like a bullet.
All right.
Going to number 10.
You can call this
the New World Order of Wrestling, brother.
Brother, okay.
Okay, so that was a great mic moment. It was actually more of a great moment, and not so much of the mic moment that was great. It was the turn, it was the leg drop, it was the crowd throwing stuff. Not so much the mic there.
Some of it was the mic, because he got on and
he told us to stick it.
Yeah.
Brother.
So that was...
Okay, now this was great.
See, and again, another one from The Rock.
So there you go.
Number 9, the Hell in the Cell at Armageddon six-way,
yeah.
They had The Rock cut promo on all five of his opponents.
It was so great. All five.
Or maybe it'll be Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're going to have some Steve Weisers. Listen to some Backstreet Boys.
It's awesome.
Or maybe it'll be Rikishi. I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people. Oh, shut your face, you're thong wearing fatty. Or maybe it'll be Triple H in the game, in the middle of the ring. And he's got a $2 slap for a wife. I don't know what we did for Undertaker and Kane.
Undertaker,
I think he would.
Yeah, he rolled his eyes back.
And
yeah.
Die or something.
Yeah. But I don't remember what he did for the King.
I don't remember what he did for the King.
I'm impressed that you remember even that much. So it was great.
No. And Kurt Angle.
Oh, that's right. Oh, he's drinking milk or something.
Yeah,
right?
I'm going to drink some milk. Yeah. That was good.
That was tremendous.
So that's why it's number 9. Because it's a memorable moment.
Exactly.
Alright, let's get the shockwave here. This is fucking stupid.
You're stupid?
Alright. You turn the camera off and I'll be naked when you come back.
Well, as a great mic, as a memorable, like, it's Ric Flair at his most insane.
Yes.
You know?
Not the only time he's gone down to his boxers, though.
Oh, no. No.
But I
not even on TV.
No. But I do... I don't remember this so much. It was from 1998. So it was right after Starrcade 98.
Yeah.
Which... It's always funny how, like... And you talk... You always talk about...
Obviously, it's not... Fire me. I'm already fired.
But you always talk about how the inmates could run the asylum in WCW. Yeah. And it was so funny because they always talk, you always hear about like Hogan, Nash, Hall, those guys, right?
Yeah.
And even the guys that weren't necessarily in power, but it's like, I'm just watching, like, Kurt Hennig has just joined the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
And on the network, and I'm watching it week to week here. And he's had about 6 matches with Ray Traylor. Because they're friends. And they just wanted to go out and have matches together. Because it didn't matter. And he's feuding with Flair.
Yeah.
Here it is, 1998, a year later. He's feuding with Flair. Perfect and Flair feuding again. Because they're friends, and nobody gives a fuck. So it's just like, go do whatever you want.
No, well, there was some of that.
Yeah.
There was some of that. As long as you didn't want to be at the top of the card.
Yes.
You just go do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want, right? Yeah. It's the same way, it's like, you know, Malenko and Eddie, and like they're all just they keep having feuds against
Jericho
because they're friends.
Yeah.
You Stole My Legacy. Paul Heyman, November 15th, 2001.
Is this the
go home show for the Survivor Series Alliance versus WWF? Where it. In just a few moments, at my leisure...
Yes, this is that.
I'm going to call Vince McMahon down to the middle of his ring. on
in just
his
a few moments.
Yeah.
At my leisure, I'm going to chew some ice.
Oh, all right.
That would be good on the air. But I'm thirsty.
Yes.
I'm thirsty, and it's what's in front of me.
That's
ice for my iced coffee. The all coffee right. portion, no longer in there.
Thirsty.
The ice portion?
And lazy. Got it. So this was a great promo.
So you're not surprised, right?
No. Not at all. This was a great moment, you know, where he talked about how, you know, you took, you know, Bret Hart's smile and bought yourself a jet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you took, you know, well, and then while Gene Okerlund, and, you know, it was not a factual promo by any stretch of the imagination, because while Gene Okerlund and Bobby Heenan were running around singing Tutti Frutti, we were doing cutting edge programming in ECW. No, you weren't. But the point was there. And then Taz come out and choked out Heyman at the end. But this is a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
This, especially after it brought back the business angle of the Alliance versus WWF Survivor Series match. After 3 days earlier or 4 days earlier, you got Rock and Steve Austin singing together.
Yes.
Which was fantastic.
Yes.
But
great not, moment, but not a great
but no
not a great money promo.
Did not drive any money. Like, what did
not
I
not a
see?
Great
even
promo.
Paul Heyman going, this is
surreal.
But again,
it was a great Mike moment, but it wasn't a great yeah, it wasn't a money moment.
Yeah.
Now one of the things about it is the only problem I have with this, like, as a promo, it was a great promo, but it's a better Mike moment than promo, because the problem with this for me always was I could not tell after this promo who was supposed to be the babyface, who was supposed to be the heel. And that was, I think, kind of one of the few weaknesses I'd have given before.
Yeah, but towards the end he started to like, he was making fun of Taz and,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and I think that was what was supposed to do it for him. I mean,
yeah.
I liked Heyman.
But, exactly.
But Jake Roberts, before fighting Ted DiBiase at WrestleMania 7.
Not
no,
his
6.
Not his greatest Mike moment.
Oh God, no.
No. No, no, no.
Not even close.
No.
But again,
but he was so great all the time.
Find me something from Jake Roberts.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it on here, right?
Yeah, cuz it's always going to be great.
I think, what do you think his best Mike moment was?
I would say it's the moment after he puts his hands on Elizabeth and
yeah.
does the snake thing and just it's that the thing was he came in, he was a heel.
Yeah.
Got the great heel promo. And then here he's a baby face and the character isn't all that different.
Not at all.
But when he came back and turned heel again on and had that feud with Savage, he was really the most evil character that
yeah.
maybe WWF at the time had ever had. Like he was really a disgusting evil character. He went to a whole other level.
Until Vince,
from where
probably,
he was before, yeah. From where even Vince is, Vince was just an asshole, but not like this because he was such a cartoon. Jake Roberts wasn't a cartoon when he
no,
was this character.
That's right.
He was just a really bad person.
Yeah,
you know,
ruined weddings.
Well, I did that for your wedding.
That's
you're invited me. Your own fault.
Still like that Daniel Bryan moment.
Yeah, we still have to put that audio on the
that's
show.
That's true. I still have to find that audio. Somewhere.
Find that audio where I put my roast of Addy.
Yes.
From
it. Would that show. Be a great mic moment in wrestling?
It was a great mic. You have to admit, it was a hell of a.
That was
didn't
it.
I go on for like 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah. And you kept going, and at the wedding. It was.
That was like the opening of Raw.
Going on. Yeah, exactly.
Just went on forever.
Oh.
Every Raw.
Number 5 is Ric Flair. I was born with a golden spoon in my mouth.
Which is hilarious because he really wasn't.
No. And this is the second Ric Flair one on here.
Yeah.
So. Number 4. I'm the best wrestler. Okay, the pipe bomb.
Oh, the pipe bomb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is after he's left, so, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is after he's left. You
can't,
and they
left two Hogans on there.
Well, yeah, that's true. They didn't pull them from the website.
Yeah.
Well, they can't, really. That's not what they're doing. They're just not putting anything new on.
That's true. That's true.
So when we talk about Bockwinkel, they won't be talking about the Hogan Bockwinkel.
They might. Briefly. If they do like a video for him, his matches with Hulk Hogan in the AWA.
Who will be back in WWE first? Hulk Hogan or Billy Gunn?
Billy Gunn.
Yeah, me too.
Billy Gunn. Yeah.
But both are coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kane Dewey.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
And also, proof that Joey Styles has something to do with this this list.
Well, there's quite a bit of our
ECW. At least three on there.
Yeah.
What do you think number two is? Brett Screwed Brett? And then number one is Austin 316?
Number one is Austin 316, so it's a number... What is number two?
Number two would be Brett Screwed Brett.
I don't think so. What is number two? We'll see.
That's Hard Times,
yeah,
baby.
There you go.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great promo again, but the fact they were going with these mic moments, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's not even a mic moment. That Brett Screwed Brett was a sit down. There was no mic involved.
That's true.
Yeah, but this is a great mic moment. And a big part of the reason why is you looked on the right of on the left in real life, on the right in the picture of
Doc Hendricks.
Doc Hendricks.
Michael P.S. Hayes.
And the look on his face, a complete absolute confusion.
That's actually a good encapsulation of World Wrestling Federation in 1996.
It right really
there.
Is.
Austin on one side, Doc Hendricks as the booking committee on the other. Looking in bewilderment. All right. Well, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Good to mention earlier, I'm starting to think now, with WrestleMania 32 coming up Dallas, Texas, I'm really starting to think that Stephanie McMahon can whoop Ronda Rousey. It's called cardio.
Well, I don't think Stephanie's beaten anybody with a cardio.
No?
No. I finally watched last night. There's this thing from the WWE. It's called the Network.
Oh.
I think you'd like it. You should check it out. It's at...
sorry, let me write this down. What'd you call it? Network?
WWE Network.
It's NETWORM?
K. No, C. WORC.
C.
Network.
Network.
Yeah.
I'm thinking W.
So, anyways, it's this thing.
M.
Called the WWE...
Network.
And what it has is it has old events from the WWE.
Oh!
And new events will be streaming there, apparently.
Hmm.
And then other shows.
Don't cross those streams.
So what I did was I watched for the first time there since March when I was there live. I watched last night the WrestleMania show.
Oh, yes.
I'm literally watching Stephanie in the ring with Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
When I get a breaking news from ESPN on my phone,
yes,
Ronda Rousey just got her ass whipped.
Yes,
is what it said.
Yes,
yeah. And I'm watching this, going, oh, I wonder who's more pissed, Dana White or Vince McMahon.
It's true. It's true.
I don't know.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see. I mean, yeah, Vince has got to be pretty pissed because now Ron has got to go back and have more fights.
Yeah, and her drawing power is hurt a little because she's no longer female Goldberg.
Maybe. That's going to be interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Tyson still meant a lot long after. I mean, he got out of fucking jail.
Well, but part of what made him was it not... Like, when he was coming up, people were paying to see him to watch him kill somebody.
Right.
Then after he snaps and bites a guy's ear, we're paying to see if he's going to snap and do something crazy again.
That's true.
And she doesn't have that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Though at the promo she cut at the weigh-ins, she was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of out of control.
Yeah.
So her heart doesn't look to me like it's in it anymore, and it would be great if she went to the WWE. It could happen now.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But speaking of the WWE, Survivor Series.
Yeah.
It all boils down, I'll say it again, the tournament. The first ever in World Wrestling Federation history.
First ever what?
Title tournament.
No.
No? Well, the first ever in Survivor Series history.
No.
Oh. Well, certainly the weakest.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think this is the weakest World Wrestling Federation championship tournament they've ever had?
Fucking Deadly Games was way worse than this.
Deadly Games had Gilbert.
And it also had, he's a man.
Such a man. Have you seen that yet, any of those? Table for Three?
He's a real man's man. No, but you know what? They have this thing on, it's called the WWE Network.
Huh.
And so I watched Deadly Games. Because you know what happened was, here's Monday.
Now
you were gone. You were in Vegas.
Spinning a deal
and
making the wheel.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So anyways, you're off there.
Yeah.
Doing off that. There? And because we had gotten the message, oh, fucking Seth Rollins is done.
Yeah.
He's gone for forever.
6 to 9 months.
Title's gone, tournament. And I'm like, fuck, I want to cut a show now, but I actually want to do a show.
Yeah.
And you're gone.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I could just do it without him. And then I thought,
that would suck.
I thought that would be a lot of effort.
Yeah. It's true. And it wasn't directly in front of you.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, fine. So now, Raw is in London, was it? Or Manchester? Or Manchester?
Manchester. You know, England.
And so anyway, so it's taped already. I don't look at any of the tapings.
Me either.
I don't do anything. I sit down to watch Raw. It's the first time. Like, I don't know about you. I'm sure you had the same thing. I think most people listening to this or watching Raw probably had the same thing when they heard about Rollins' injury. Was they started fantasy booking.
Yes.
Coming up with tons of ideas.
Yes.
Lots of ways to go. And I had listened to a couple podcasts and stuff like that, and people were throwing out different ideas. And so I sat down. I didn't have any spoilers. And I was like, okay, let's see what they're... The first time in a long time, I was actually anxious.
Right.
Actually, like, it sucks for Seth Rollins because he was, you know, it sucks for him... Physically, it sucks for his financially, it certainly hurt him.
Yeah.
All this stuff. But I'm like, but the positive is, instead of being remembered as the guy who never won a match as world champion, all of a sudden his legacy will be the guy who got his reign cut short because of an injury. And all of a sudden, instead of being the guy who had to do a clean job in the middle of the ring to a guy 16 years his senior at WrestleMania,
yes,
he is the guy who's going to come back and challenge for the title, and probably actually
get a babyface run,
and probably get a pop, and maybe bump business for a slight little while for his comeback because when he comes back that first time. So I'm like, so there's actually some positives for him here. I mean, as much as it sucks, I was like, short term it sucks. Long term, this might be good for him.
Yeah. Sad part is he won't bump business because football will be coming back about the same time as him. But
I know. We'll see, but the point being, though, that I was like, okay, this might actually be good for him. So I'm like, long term. So I'm like, but let's see what they're going to do. I'm really excited. This is my first time I was excited to watch a Raw since I don't know how long.
The other reason it's good for him
mm-hmm.
is because the best way to be made a star is to not be on their television.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
So anyway,
I'm like, you know, as I say, I'm pretty excited for this. I go and turn it on, and like, immediate disappointment when I see what they done.
Immediate disappointment?
Immediate, when I see the brackets.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, that's the best you can come up with? That's the best you can come up with?
My wife plays volleyball on Monday nights, and she was leaving just as I was starting to watch Raw, and she got as far as the Roman Reigns Triple H thing, and then it ended. And he's like, and your match is going to be now. And Hunter was leaving, and I looked around, I'm like, fuck, it's the Big Show. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I'm like, there you go.
You saw it coming.
I had no idea. Yeah, I just could see it coming. I
see it coming. And when was it that Pat Patterson started writing off, Triple H's promos anyways?
I don't know. He's always liked his nose.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I want you to be my man.
Yes.
Triple H just really wants his man.
Not my liver man.
My
not
man.
Not my dog man.
Just be my man. So anyways, what was I saying?
I don't know.
So fuck.
Yeah.
So that, I'm like, that's what, yeah, I'm watching this. I'm just so bored. Like, such a boring Raw. Boring. And the irony is, you had all these tournament matches.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks earlier, we had had the one that was ended up being the four-way match, where it was this great Raw. Had all the... Ended up where Reigns got the number one contendership. And the thing about it was all wrestling. And what was great about it was every match meant something because it was qualifying for that finals match, and then that final match was the four-way.
Right.
And I was like... And so it should be the same thing because every match should mean something here, like it did that night. But it was just boring.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right? So I'm terribly disappointed. So I'm like, oh man, let me go watch when wrestling was good, when they were doing it right. So I go and watch Survivor Series 1998 Deadly Games.
Huh.
Holy fuck, now that was awful. That had Roman, like I say, that had Gilbert.
Yeah.
Had Big Boss Man in two first round. It only had 14 people in the tournament.
Yes.
Big Boss Man was in two first round matches. It had
Austin got a Austin. Who got a bye?
Austin ended up getting a bye.
Who was through though?
Because what happened was, in the worst finish of all time, Steven Regal was fighting X-Pac. Steven Regal and X-Pac end up getting a count out. So what happens is they end up with a count out, both, you know, count out of the ring.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon's in the back going, Austin can't get a bye. Tell him to restart the match. So they sent down, I think it was Patterson or whoever the fuck it was.
Yeah, the stooge.
Restarts the match. And X-Pac just runs to the back. And Regal is in the middle of the ring. And all of a sudden goes running back towards him. Because he's also supposed to be counted out a second time. And it's like, it makes no sense. It's awful. The announcers are confused, and the announcing was awful anyways. I mean, JR called Steven Regal Black Men because he was from Blackburn, England, for like 2-3 minutes straight. Like, you know. Well, thanks. Spoiler alert. Thanks. I was taping that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, now you don't have to.
Fucking asshole.
It's a blowout anyway, so don't worry about it.
But, yeah. But I would like to have discovered it myself.
Yeah, yeah. Much like Raw.
So anyways, just... That's a much worse tournament than this one.
Right.
Like, it had horrible announcing. It had multiple swerves. People turning... It had, I kept on thinking to myself, this is a good event. I mean, this is the event where The Rock and Mankind kick off their feud.
Yes.
Kicks off Austin's... It was a double turn. Even though Mankind was kind of a tweener, but still, it was a double turn.
Mm-hmm.
It kicked off, like I say, that great angle. It set up off, Rock as a heel, leading to the WrestleMania.
Did Austin get a bye, or did Undertaker and Kane get a bye?
Austin got a bye. Undertaker and Kane got a bye in the first
in
round.
In the first round. That's what that's who I was...
Austin, Undertaker and Kane wrestled in the first match of the second round.
Right. They're the Hogan-Andre.
Yeah, in 1998.
Yes, I got it. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, they were the Hogan and Andre.
Was Tyler Breeze in this? Oh, you said Gilbert was, so yeah.
Gilbert, yeah, worse. No, I mean, it's like I say, it kicked off, business was good, business was great. I mean, it's memorable. It was the first time they did something based on the Survivor Series finish, the 97, the screw job. Is the first That's time they right. played off of that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I watch it, and Russo's fingers are all over this thing. Like I say, there's multiple swerves. The wrestling is horrible.
I remember liking
the wrestling is terrible in this event. There's not one good fucking match.
Yeah, that's right.
And the crowd isn't nearly as hot as you'd think. The crowd is probably hottest for Sable versus fucking Jacqueline.
Yeah, yeah. Because
Sable was a huge star.
Yeah. I remember liking the show at the end just because I remember the swerve, but that's really all I remember.
They got heat. They were brave. But here's the thing is, they had a storyline, and they were going to tell their storyline.
Yes.
The wrestling didn't matter. This was about the entertainment. We're telling the storyline. We're setting up the future. And we don't give a fuck.
That's
and
right.
when you go home upset, well,
that's what we want.
You're not. Yeah, but even then, they didn't have the guts to do that because then they bring back Austin after Foley's laid out, even though he's not going to get his hands on The Rock for months, and even though they had set up Big Boss Man to feud with him, and he was supposed to keep him from the ring for no reason, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just a mess.
A mess.
So I really started to appreciate what I watched on Raw on Monday after watching this awful, awful event.
And I don't know...
And rose-colored glasses, right? The memories
yeah.
of it are better than the actual event.
Have they said if... Are the semifinals and finals at the
Survivor
Series?
They haven't said, but I think that's what everybody assumes.
So
they'll go down to the final four, and then that's where...
So they've gone to the final four, haven't they?
No, they're in the quarterfinals now.
That's right. This week they have Roman and Cesaro.
Yeah. Neville and Owens. Ziggler and Ambrose. And...
Del Rio
and
Kalisto. Yeah, getting the upset win over Ryback.
Yeah, I watched that on SmackDown. It was better on SmackDown than... SmackDown was better than Raw. Because the matches were actually better. That match was pretty interesting.
2 hours.
2 hours helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't mind this tournament so much. I mean, I think the finish, the culmination of the tournament, much like Deadly Games, is that Triple H will have his man and feud with Ambrose in the short term.
What do you think? I'm not understanding.
Roman's going heel.
You think?
The corporate champion, Roman Reigns.
You think?
And he'll go with Ambrose, and then you're going to have Rollins and Cena, or Roman and Cena at WrestleMania.
Maybe.
I think that's where they're going.
Maybe, it's possible. I mean, I was trying to look at this and rebuild where they were going and where they have to go from this.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going Triple H pinning Seth Rollins, obviously, because
mm-hmm.
he's the star.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So they were going in that direction. And I think they were going to go Cena and... Do you think they were going to go Cena and Taker at the time?
I don't know what they were
going to do. And Reigns-Lesnar? Was that where they were going, or...?
I think Reigns-Lesnar, yeah. But again, it was supposed to be for the belt.
Yeah.
So... I don't know what you would have done. You would have done what? Would Lesnar... Well, I guess Roman was going to win. Beat Rollins in Survivor Series.
He was winning the title.
And
yeah.
then he would have gone into a feud probably with...
Well, he would have continued to feud. No, he would have continued to feud with Rollins.
Yeah.
For a little while. And then... I don't know when Sheamus was going to cash in. I'm trying to think of what storylines are left to do. The Money in the Bank, and I realized there is a time. I thought, oh, they've blown through everything. Because they did. They've done a guy who has cashed into WrestleMania.
Now, yeah.
They've done a guy who has cashed into Turn Heel. They did that with Punk.
Yes.
They did a guy who has set a date well ahead of time and done it on that night. They did that with RVD.
RVD, yeah.
They've done a guy who has lost. They did that with Cena and with Sandow.
Yes.
They've done a guy
who... Well, and even you could say Cena set a date, too.
He did, yeah. It was 1 week, yeah. They've done a guy who has cashed in on the same night. They did that with Kane.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So I was like, there's no stories left.
Well, and they did that with Edge, right? Like, it's not the same night, a night a guy won a title, right? Yeah.
A guy and a
night. Well, they did that with Punk to turn him heel, too, so there was a bit of a dynamic there, because he'd just beaten Edge.
Hardy, but that wasn't the night that he won the belt, or won the
was it?
I'm saying no. That
Hardy...
is the night... That's the night the Hardy won. I'm talking the night Kane won the Money in the Bank,
yeah.
cashed in the main event that night.
Oh, was it the main event?
Yeah. He won
the Money in the Bank event. I got
and
you.
And then cashed in at the same event.
I'm with you. Yeah, he didn't carry the briefcase around. He just
cashed in.
I got you.
So, I mean, a lot of these stories, I was like, they've used pretty much every storyline. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, no, they haven't. Like, there's a ton left. They haven't used the guy who was used to turn babyface.
No.
They haven't set a guy who has set Mania as the date. They haven't had a guy who has defended it and lost it, or defended it and held on to it.
That's right.
To build himself up.
They had a guy set Mania as the date, but they didn't stick to it.
That was Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, yeah.
That was just something I think he said. I don't think that was something they ever intended. they haven't had a guy, frankly, give it to somebody as like a babyface move. Give it to somebody in like a.
That's true.
That would be quite a move to have a guy give it to like an old guy. It's like, you're never going to get another chance. I'm giving you the Money in the Bank, so you can have one last chance.
Yeah. For
the guy who's about to retire or something.
Yeah. Big Show.
Please. What else haven't they done? The point is, there's a ton.
Anyway. But I do think.
But they haven't even had like a tag team where both guys hold it type thing, or where they actually turn it into for something else like a tag team belt. Like, there's a lot of storylines left.
It's true.
So there's a lot that you could technically do with Sheamus. They won't.
They are not going to. No, Sheamus and Barrett are officially a tag team.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I watched that Table for Three, and they were talking about
what's that on? What's it on?
It's Regal.
Shane. No. But where did you see it?
Oh, it's on the WWE Network.
What's that?
It's this thing I've just been alerted to, and so I've spent the last 2 years watching. No. You're dying again.
Remember that episode where you had to save my life?
Yeah.
Yeah. You very nearly had to do it again there, yes.
Yeah, but we talked about how you can only do like Money in the Bank things once. They had Sheamus and William Regal and King Barrett.
I sound like my dog.
Talking about the Kings of the Ring. And they pointed out that the reason that they were on the show is because they're the three worst Kings of the Ring of all time. And it's great. It's only $9.99, this World Wrestling Federation Network.
I'm sorry, what was it called? It was the...
They're doing...
It was Sheamus, King Barrett, and who?
And William Regal. Talking about how they were the worst Kings of the Ring.
I don't even remember William Regal winning it.
Yeah. Then he said it too. He's like, Barrett was like the guy holding it together. He's like, okay, we're here because I guess we're all Kings of the Ring. And so they were talking, and Regal's like, we're probably the three worst Kings of the Ring. So this is just a rib on us. I don't even think I won a match. And Barrett's like, yeah, I haven't won a match since I've been King of the Ring. He's like, you had this elf thing losing to Santino, and then Regal's like, he's like, yeah, I won the King of the Ring. I was the commissioner. We were supposed to do this thing, and then I got myself in some trouble and got myself suspended.
Which is true. Yeah. That was history.
Yeah. But you talk about really nice how he never wanted to wear a cape, never wanted to wear a crown. He wanted to do this really dark, most powerful man in...
At the time, he was the commissioner on Raw or something.
Yeah, he was the GM, and he'd be the King of the Ring. He wanted to do this whole, I'm the most powerful man gimmick, and he just never got a chance to...
Because he fucked it up.
Yeah.
He fucked it up for himself.
That's what he said, too. Anyway, it was... So that was funny.
And then Barrett, on the other hand, likes to wear a cape, likes to wear a crown. Get over.
Oh, they were going back and forth. Sheamus was talking about the Cosmic King, and Barrett was talking about his, like, Woodsman of the Elves. Crown that he had. So
yeah,
they're having fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a little bit of another piece of ice.
Okay.
Don't say anything funny.
It's been 2 years. Okay. Well, while you're getting some ice, I mentioned that I was in Las Vegas at this place called the Fight Store, and you had a birthday recently.
So far I've had one every year of my life.
Huh. Well, I can't talk about that. I can only.
I don't get you anything for your birthday, so I hope you don't get me anything.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh!
Yeah.
Spectacular.
I am.
I'll have to put that on my wall because I don't think it'll fit me, but.
What? It's an XL. It's an American XL.
Well, maybe it will.
Yeah.
That's spectacular. It says, Brett. And Owen, and Davey, and Jim, and Brian.
Yeah. It's a black shirt, and it's all in pink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all the men I fuck. I mean...
What?
What?
Huh? So I went to this place called the Fight Store in Las Vegas.
Fight Store.
If you're in Las Vegas, you need to go to the Fight Store.
Yes.
I went there. I spent a lot of money. My wife was pissed at me because I spent about half an hour talking to the cashier about the Seth Rollins injury.
Should have recorded it and put it up as a podcast.
That's right. I said, my wife said, she said, did you tell him about the show? I said, no. If only we had cards.
You're a fucking idiot. None of those cards they gave you.
Fucking idiot. But I also got my shirt I'm wearing, my Samoa Joe submission. NXT t-shirt.
SoCal Submission Specialist.
Yes, from his NXT
t-shirt. That's awesome.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
I also, I got myself one of those
this Brett Foundation Owens, deals. Yeah, that's a tremendous shirt.
That's a medium of mine. But,
yeah.
And,
but it's an American medium.
It's true. And I got this.
Oh, wow, that's...
Yeah.
That looks like it's an XL, actually.
No, I don't know what it is.
Doesn't matter, it's a WrestleMania 3 shirt.
WrestleMania or... Hogan Andre shirt.
Yeah.
Yes, March 29th, 1987.
Yeah.
So
tremendous.
So that's a fantastic shirt.
Hey, by the way, I mentioned I just watched the speaking March. Oh. So you got yourself a Young Bucks Super Kick Party.
I now have a Super Kick Party t-shirt.
Which so you need to have. Everyone needs to have one of those.
I kept telling my sister-in-law when we were dressing up to go out to a fancy dinner in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at her and I'm like, okay, I don't want you wearing your Super Kick Party t-shirt. Because I'm going to wear mine. And I don't want to be embarrassed by that.
You're going out for a fancy dinner.
Yes.
Wearing Super Kick Party.
Yes.
That's tremendous. So you really fucking did spend a lot of money. What's this one now? A Balor Club worldwide.
Now I have
that's a
Balor
great shirt.
Club t-shirt as well.
That's
as
I'm surprised it's all so much NXT available.
It's,
there.
Yeah, they had all NXT. They had some WWF shirts there. They had a Fight Owens Fight, which.
You already had, don't you?
Well, I have the KO. Okay. They had some Dean Ambrose shirt. I got the man they call B, I got him a Dudley Boys 3D shirt.
Oh, nice.
So he got that. And yeah. And then it was just a matter of. Limiting myself. I would like this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. They didn't have an NWO shirt in my, my size.
It's like WrestleMania all over again, where you spent $4 billion.
Oh yes.
Well, so did I.
Yeah, but it's fantastic.
I mentioned I watched that again. I can actually say now, having watched it again, it's not the greatest WrestleMania of all time, because I thought it was when I watched it live.
Yes.
But it is a really good WrestleMania.
Well, and, I mean, I'm in it a lot, so that makes it the greatest WrestleMania.
I didn't see
time.
Either one of us the whole time.
Yeah, we're there.
Are we?
Yeah, we do it a
on
lot.
On camera?
Yeah, on camera.
Yeah. I saw the girl in front of you when Cena won the belt giving the finger,
but
I couldn't see you.
And there was, I'm trying to think of what else, they were showing some WrestleMania stuff on Breaking Ground, so we made our Breaking Ground debut as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So, that was good.
Okay. Did it show Bailey at WrestleMania, dressed in a nightgown?
I was going to say, like, dressed like she's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she was dressed, she's watching WrestleMania in this white dress like you would wear at a not at a nightgown.
Maybe she hadn't like gone home the night before.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe she joined the Balor Club, I'm just saying. So,
speaking of the tournament and the Balor Club.
Yes.
What was your fantasy booking that you would have done with this fucking thing?
Oh. You know, honestly, I don't mind the fact that it's funny because if you look at where I think they're going in terms of...
Which is Reigns heel.
Which is Reigns heel.
Yeah, I'm going to have some ice. So, I'm warning you now before I have ice.
Okay.
So you don't try and kill me again.
All right. But Reigns going heel, so I don't mind Cesaro against Reigns. If that's what they're doing. Because, I mean, obviously at first glance, it's like, well, they're going to boo the fuck out of Roman. But, you know, if that's what eventually they're going to go for, it's not going to matter. And I think Del Rio and Kalisto should be, well, definitely better than Del Rio and Ryback. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, when you're talking about fantasy booking, I don't like the fact that Kalisto is going to win. Like, I mean, I just look at what this pointed out to me is depth. Like, at first, it's like people sort of fantasy book, like, is Lesnar coming in? If they convince Lesnar to come back now with this depth being gone, is Jericho going to come in? And, you know, will Jericho come in and do it? You know,
will they get actually get Cena back for one night?
Yeah.
Will they do it? I think everybody was thinking they were going to do a one night tournament as well.
Maybe, yeah.
I know that's what I was thinking. But yeah, I mean, it was. Who are they going to bring up from NXT? They're going to have to bring up one or two people.
Well,
who are they going to bring up?
And so it's kind of like, okay,
and
so
they didn't,
and they didn't, and
I was like, who can they bring in? Can they bring in Jeff Hardy? Is he available?
Yeah.
Is Angle available yet? It's like it was all of this type of stuff.
Daniel Bryan was the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it became a lot of that, right?
Kind
of
like the Cena Hope and Challenge, actually. At the heels of Del Rio, who you didn't think was ever going to come back.
Is Sami Zayn healthy? Is Rusev healthy even, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how far will Titus O'Neil go, you know, is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
That was what I was thinking.
But, that was, I mean, when you look at the depth, and it was just, you know, okay, you want to give Kalisto a big win. I think you could do that with Adrian Neville better than you could do that with Kalisto.
I don't think Neville is necessarily what you consider an upset as a thing. Beating Wade Barrett, it's like...
No, not beating Wade Barrett, I'm just saying that, like, with this Kalisto thing, I mean, I like the Kalisto against the Del Rio match, so I didn't necessarily mind that there was a bit of an upset there. It's just, again, the fact that Kalisto's in your world title tournament is fucked, right? The same way that Tyler Breeze
this is one of the things I liked about the tournament. I liked the fact that you had 16 people, and I agree, definitely, the depth is really bad, because I don't mind that you have a Kalisto in there, if everybody else is really good.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there was a lot of people kind of at his level, which kind of is a thing, but it's still an upset for his win. I like the fact that you had heels versus heels, baby faces versus baby faces on occasion, and you had an upset or two, a couple upsets. I think Cesaro would be counting as an upset too. I like that because, to me, that makes it seem more realistic and more like a sport. So this is actually something I am positive.
I just, like, Stardust, Titus O'Neil.
Also, tell me that doesn't look like Steve Green.
Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah, that does look like Steve Green. I have seen that one. But I mean, when you look at the quadrants of the bracketing.
The quadrants of the bracketing is what was this hand signal that you did to
the quadrants of the bracketing? Quadrants. All four quadrants.
It's like a mime. He was doing some sort of trying to break out of the box.
You had
glass ceiling.
The bottom. I mean, the Del Rio bracket. We'll call it the Del Rio quadrant. Has Kalisto and Stardust here.
Yeah.
Right? So, big deal. Then you have Titus O'Neil, and you have... I'm not saying that Tyler Breeze is necessarily bad, but he's never had a match.
No, he's never had a match, no.
So, it's like...
Again,
You know, I just looked at it
the depth is not there, but that's why we're looking at who can they bring in.
And they should have. And maybe they couldn't get any. But in short...
I'm sure they couldn't.
But it's just one of those things that...
But it proves... It's more to me like, well, how much have you killed your own company?
Yeah, and
like,
your title.
And your death. But then, like I say, then I looked at when the company was hot, and I'm like, well, fuck, they only had, like... They couldn't fill... They only had to fill 14 spots, and they could only fill, like, 8 or 10 of those. But I guess those 8 and 10 were top of the line compared to... Like, when you're looking at Kane at the time, and Undertaker,
Rock,
Foley, and Rock, and Mankind, and Austin. Like, yeah, these guys were ahead of...
Megastars, yeah.
They were ahead of. But the same thing, the depth wasn't there even then.
No, and I'm not going to mind this tournament itself in terms of, as I said, Del Rio, Kalisto, Cesaro, and Roman. You know, Kevin Owens.
Like the in ring action from these last. Now that we've gotten past that,
yeah.
Now that you've eliminated some of those guys, now that you've eliminated Sheamus, now that you've eliminated Ryback,
yeah.
Now that you're down to the just guys who are just wicked, really, a bunch of terrific workers.
Yeah.
And again, I watched SmackDown. Kalisto, both in his wrestling style, his look, and his sit-down promo beforehand that they did with him.
Sit what?
He did a promo.
He was standing.
He could not have seemed more like Rey Mysterio. Like, he's never seemed as much like Rey Mysterio as he did here, was what I was going to say.
Yeah. But I think that... I think that the tournament, you know, like you said, now that they've gotten rid of the first round and it's full K-Fine, it was a good way to fill TV, I guess. Then...
Well, it wasn't really a good way.
Well, but it filled TV. Fine.
But it filled TV.
And and now you've got... you've got a decent eight, right?
Yeah.
I think...
You've got great wrestling to come. You don't have anybody who people believe should be...
Well...
There's not one guy left that people look at and go, that guy's going to be a great world champion.
Exactly, because they've killed it.
Because there's no, like, you know...
They don't know what they're doing. We've pointed that out multiple times. The stars that they have, we've talked about this for years. Years about... WrestleMania is old timers' day at the stadium, where you know it's Undertaker, it's Triple H, it's Rock, it's Sting.
Well, who was it last at this last thing? You came out of that. We talked about what a great WrestleMania it was, and the reason why was because of the Rock versus Triple H and the Ronda Rousey thing in the ring.
Yeah,
not something on their crowd. You were talking about Sting versus Triple H. We're talking
DX against NWO.
It's DX versus NWO, which was really awful, but it was a moment. But that you know. Even something like Rollins cashing in the money in the bank is a smoke and mirrors thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're left with.
Yes. And so now even, so you, they stop, you know, they talk about, okay, well, eventually you're going to have to stop bringing back these old-timers.
Yeah.
Right? The Undertakers and the Hunters and the Rocks and all these guys. Even Brock isn't an old-timer, but he's a part-timer. And these guys are going to stop, you know, coming in. And now you're facing...
And when Rollins was down, I was thinking, oh, this should be good. They're going to have to bring in some more people, or they're going to have to make some more people.
But now...
Somehow that didn't happen.
Well, no, now you're faced with, you know, your Cenas and your Ortons. Even your... That next level, the younger old-timers...
Yeah.
Are out. And so you really got nothing. You know, no Bray Wyatt in the tournament.
No.
You know? Who could have filled Titus O'Neil's spot quite nicely, or whatever? Just for, I guess, especially if they're going to go out. I think you had to Bray Wyatt if you were able to bring in or even to put in a Luke Harper. You know, but instead of Stardust, or you know, something. I don't know. It just
it's like I said, I didn't mind Kalisto in there, but when you have Kalisto in there and Titus and Stardust, all of a sudden it becomes, that's when it's like the whole thing
that's trying to Tyler Breeze, Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. Because, that's where Tyler Breeze is, I've said this before, and it's not just because he was with Summer, though that's part of it. He's Fandango in a year.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not gonna, he's got a short shelf life, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, so this tournament, I don't know, it'll be okay. None of the New Day in the tournament. Couldn't throw Big E Langston in the fucking tournament, you know what I mean?
There was a... I think it was...
could have Kalisto beat Langston, and you could have had, Del Rio beat Ryback in the opening, and then you wouldn't have needed Stardust.
No, you... Well, the thing is, they had, I think it was, PW Torch. I remember. It was one of these sites that I was, for some reason, I was looking for information of what they were going to do in the tournament after Rollins' injury. And they had a poll asking who you would have in there.
Right.
Like, or who you have win it. And Big E was one of the guys. And he was, like, fourth. It was, like, number one. They would have booked, people would have booked Ambrose if he was the top pick.
Okay.
And then the next pick was, I think the next pick was Del Rio. And then the next pick was Owens. And then it was Big E. And then it was, like, Reigns. Like, it was, you know. Yeah. But the point is, though, I think it was just kind of assuming, like, him or somebody like that would be in there. And then, of course, they weren't.
No, exactly. They voiced that as well, so a bit of a gimmick. But, I mean, That's the thing. It's this Sunday, and you're going to have a tag match now, the Brothers of Destruction, against two of the four members of the Wyatt families of Bray's choice. Because, again, if it was up to me...
Who are the two of the four? That's part of what scares me.
Well,
here's the thing. No, but, okay, the Wyatt family, okay? Now there's four members. They're huge. Wyatt's a charismatic leader, good talker, good persona type deal. And then he's got these monsters behind them. If they were running through the entire company for like 2 years straight, just destroying people, and then building this would be great. But instead, what you have is you have Wyatt, who's kind of plateaued. You have two guys who are just big jobbers. And then the worst of them, because A, he's the biggest, and B, he's the newest, so you're trying to fix the mistakes you made by not building up the other two properly, is being protected. But he's the worst of them.
Yes.
So he's got the worst look, and he's the worst wrestler. And he's the worst talker. So it's just fucked, is what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
It's fucked.
Oh. Yeah, it's fucked. I mean, and you know what? It honestly, to me, two of the four, it doesn't matter. When they're talking now,
Harper has to be one of them, but and the Brothers of the Destruction have to win.
Yes.
So, which means you can't put Strowman in there.
I think you're going to see it's going to end up being all of them at some point. They're all just just going to interchange. And honestly, what surprised me with Dave...
I don't know, but I'm not as excited about it as I should be.
Because on Raw, they beat all four of them fucking up anyway.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, I was expecting The Undertaker...
And that was after kind of protecting Strowman.
You know what I was expecting, honest to God? I was expecting...
Just destroying the jobbers.
I didn't read the spoilers. Yeah. I was expecting a 4-on-2 beatdown.
Yeah,
Undertaker and Kane hold their own 4-on-2 beatdown, and all of a sudden the fireworks come down and the Dudley Boys run. Exactly,
that's 4-on-4. That's what I was expecting too, and that would have made total sense because I mean the Dudley Boys I think even took on the Brothers of Destruction back in the day, so they've been around for a long time. So there's a storyline there. These guys they have their back.
The Dudley Boys put Paul Bearer in concrete.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things that,
but they're bonded by the battles through the years type deal.
Yeah. Part of it, to me, is that's what made me think that, okay, maybe they're going to do all the rest of the tournament matches at Survivor Series, where they would do the quarters, and then they would have to fight three, because you'd have 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 matches. That would be the 12th, and the chick title match would be 13. And that's about what they do.
Right? Yeah.
And they would be long matches by any stretch of imagination, and 4 minutes on some of them, but I mean,
it's just for me. It's really weird as I was realizing it as we build towards Survivor Series here. I was looking at it, going, it is amazing to me that 2 months ago you had three female teams set up for Survivor Series, and you don't have now any of them to kind of compete in a Survivor Series type match.
Right.
So the women's match at Survivor Series will be. I don't know that we're not going to get a straight Survivor Series match. I don't think there'll even be one.
No.
At this whole thing now.
Maybe on the pre-show.
Maybe. But, I mean, we had one on Raw a couple weeks ago.
Well, and I think that, again, that I think the injury and the two injuries and Cena being gone. Well, they knew about Cena being gone, but two injuries really played into that in Orton and Rollins. And that just, I think they just blew everything up.
Yeah, but it's just strange. I mean, I feel like if I look at the women's division, I'm like, well, okay, they should have just waited until, built it slowly until now.
Yeah.
And had the 3-on-3, because we never even got that. All three teams with all three members in like an elimination match, or even, I don't think even a tag match.
Didn't we?
But I can remember, maybe in a tag
SummerSlam, didn't we?
No.
Yeah, I thought, wasn't it a 3-on-3 team?
No, that was, wasn't.
No, it was a 3-on-3. It was
no, it wasn't. No. It was a three-way match, but it wasn't the teams.
I thought it was the teams.
No.
No, it wasn't the teams. That's right. It was individual participants, and the teams were all there. That's right.
Yeah. We never got that. So you should have saved that for Survivor Series and just...
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing is, it's like... you can blame the injuries for some degree, but a lot of it is them.
The fact that they don't know what they're doing, they're being exposed now because of injuries. Right?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you don't protect your title and you don't make any new stars.
Yeah.
You go with a pat hand, and
I realized that again when I was looking at the tournament. I'm like, you know who the number one, the most protected guy in the tournament? is Roman Reigns.
Yes.
And you know who the second most protected guy in the tournament is? I think it's Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens. That's weird. And it may be Del Rio now.
And then it would be Del Rio probably third.
Now, maybe. Yeah. But he's only been there really technically, you know.
That's yeah, exactly.
Right? So it doesn't really count. Like, and they were setting up this Del Rio against Jack Flair. And for that was going to be happening at Survivor Series. And again, I don't mind that. Like, I did not mind that at all because there's a storyline there. But they weren't having a storyline to build for it.
No.
They were just having him going, hey, what are you doing with them? And
mind your own business.
And Del Rio saying, mind your own business. And that was going to lead to the match. That's not a storyline.
No.
You had a storyline. Craft a storyline around it. If you're going to have him say, what are you doing with him? And then you had Zeb Coulter say, I'm trying to bring these countries together. Jack, we got to get past this. I know that you felt the same way I did. I made a mistake. Why don't you come and join us? And then bring him in. And he doesn't quite trust them.
Yeah.
But have them be a team for a couple weeks. And then on the way, in the third week, on the way to the ring, have Del Rio beat him down on the way before they even get to the ring. Just destroy him. And then have Zeb cut a thing about Mex America's for winners and not losers.
Nice.
And it's for, you know, it's for, you think we would ever have you in there? You're too stupid to understand what we're doing. Like these people here watching you love you.
Yeah.
You know, we the people, it's not we the people anymore. You're not one of
us. Welcome to Mex America.
It's welcome to Mex. And then you would have had this match. And then next week you have fucking, you know, them in the ring cutting a promo and you have Swagger. Just in like a Titantron. In like a dark room, and cutting a dark promo about how mad he is, and not even show his face. Maybe just show some a little bit of bruising and then like some lighting, and just showing him like then like destroying people, like clips of him and his impressive physical abilities. And you build it up, and he's like, "You've unwoken a monster. I'm coming for you." And then when you have the match, there's a storyline.
What?
You're playing off the past. You built up both characters. You got a heel and a baby face, and there's a fucking reason. That's what wrestling's supposed to be, and it's not fucking difficult.
And then Jack Swagger can come down.
And then it doesn't matter
with Ricardo.
He could. He actually could have too.
No, not
maybe not right
not
away.
Not now. Not after Ricardo talked.
What did Ricardo say?
Well, Ricardo is not complimentary of Triple H.
Oh, well.
You can piss Vince off.
Yeah.
But not Triple H.
Not Triple H.
Especially since he's fucking Ricardo.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Either way, he didn't need him. He didn't need him.
No, you don't need him.
The point is, though, that's how you do it. What they were fucking doing...
Yeah.
Hey, mind your own business.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's
sure. Wouldn't mind a title shot if you haven't got if you got time.
If you're not doing anything, maybe
you can have a little title shot. And,
I think the way you need to build that up though is Alberto just has to come out and say, "Yo, Mexican people, what's the deal with your nasty hair?"
I agree.
Yeah, it's
fucking stupid.
Anyway, it is dumb. But I think that's all the time we have for this week.
Is it? I thought we had another hour.
No. No, nope. I just got a message. We don't have any more time.
Oh, it's too bad, because we were going to play In Light of Billy Gunn.
I know. We can play that next week.
We're going to play that next week.
It'll still be fine.
That's true. I just want to say, Billy Gunn, the whole thing, the WWE is stupid, and their drug policy is stupid,
mm-hmm.
and all their policies are stupid,
uh-huh.
and they're stupid, and that's stupid, and the firing of him is stupid, and that's all stupid. It's kind of embarrassing. Isn't it stupid?
You know who's stupid?
What?
Billy Gunn.
Well, no, who's stupid is them. He was there. He was one of their... Oh, he was a trainer, so that's why we're not testing him. He was their tag champion in 2014.
Yes.
37-1? Fucking idiots.
Yep. I don't know, I could put in your arm, I could put in your leg. Where would you like me to put the needle? In my ass, man! Stick it in my ass, man! Hey! I was thinking of stuck. Yeah. That's all I got to say about that. Billy Gunn. Funny stuff. My favorite part about Billy Gunn is that he's doing steroids and he's now just got caught.
I know!
That's funny. Anyway, that's going to do it. We'll be back after the Survivor Series, after Roman Reigns is turned heel.
Next Sunday. Is that next Sunday? I don't think he's turning heel.
Yeah, he's going to turn heel.
I think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to turn heel.
He's going to become the corporate champ.
I don't think so. I think this is going to be... I think it's Vince going, we're going to strap Rocky to him now.
I don't know.
As the baby face.
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know.
But you're thinking like Vince McMahon in 1998. I'm thinking like Vince McMahon in 2015.
Maybe. Either way, probably not going to work. So, all right. WeTalkWrestling.com. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We're at WeTalkWrestling on the Twitter machine. We are on ShowMe. We are on iTunes.
We're not on ShowMe, but we know...
Does that even exist anymore?
Yeah, it does. But we're not on, like, yeah, we're not on RDO. And, you know,
hope.
But I hear Spotify is opening up for podcasting, and we just got to figure out how the fuck to get on there.
Oh, yeah. So sign us up, people.
Does somebody do the work for us, please?
Yeah. Because it's not right in front of us. So that's going to do it. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
We're off air?
Oh, yeah.
Your dog is trying to smell my crotch.
Oh, again?